are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to The King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of The King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Always good to be back here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's 1570 AM on your dial in Doylestown, 1420 Coatesville, Chester County area. We are blessed to be here live again on this second Friday in February. That's right, February 8th, the Feast of St. Josephine Baquita. And the Magnificat today, if you have it, we read about Josephine. Pope Benedict opened his encyclical on hope in 2007, Spes Salve, with the story of St. Josephine Baquita. She was kidnapped as a girl and sold into slavery. Baquita endured great cruelty from a succession of masters. She landed in the service of an Italian family and experienced kindness that she hardly knew existed. Left for a time in the care of the Canossian sisters in Venice, she encountered the divine master and finally found her place among the Canossians. She was known for her sweet voice, her love of children, and her total acceptance of intense physical suffering at the end of her life. As the master desires, she would say, and she died in 1947 and was canonized in 2000, St. Josephine Baquita. So we're going to talk a little bit about Josephine Baquita through the lens of this book, this great book that we've been presenting. Last two shows we've done here at Holy Spirit Radio, we've been talking about the hidden power of kindness. And I'm going to pick up with it again today because I think it's just transforming my prayer life and how I interact with people. And I wanted to share it with you. But before I do that, I want to tell you about exciting things that King's Men are doing. If you don't know anything about the King's Men, we are a lay men's apostolate that started here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia back in 2004. And we've been doing this work full-time, serving men around the globe. We will be in Arizona next week. I was just there last week with the Phoenix Catholics Men's Conference. But we will be bringing our healing retreat, our Samson Healing Retreat, to Prescott, Arizona, which is about 2 hours north of Phoenix. And we will be bringing this program here for the first time. It's only been on the East Coast in New Jersey. And this is the first time it's leaving this area and going to diocese. And Bishop Olmsted, we were with him last week, has welcomed our apostolate with our men's groups. And now we are bringing our healing program to his diocese to help those in need of healing, all sorts of healing. If you ask yourself, well, who goes to these retreats? Who goes to the Samson Healing Retreat? People who are sinners, people who struggle with sin, people who have experienced specific pains in their life that they're still dealing with, perhaps from their childhood, perhaps current wounds that have been inflicted in their life. Perhaps they're a product of divorce and they are trying to cope with that in their adult life. Perhaps they were adopted as a child and trying to reconcile that situation in their life. Perhaps they've lost a loved one, a spouse, a friend, a sibling, and they're in need of healing there. We also work with people who struggle with addictions, all sorts of addictions. Could be drug addiction, alcohol addiction, anger addiction, sex addiction. People who struggle with those things have found great hope and healing at these retreats. Also deal with men who have been bullied as kids, intimidated, harassed, verbally assaulted. This happens all the time in schools and around the country. And men grow up, boys grow up to be men, and they experience this even in their workplace. Or perhaps their spouse abuses them verbally. We deal with men who've been abandoned emotionally, been neglected. Perhaps they have a father who just really didn't take the time to treat his son to a relationship, to beloved sonship, inviting that child into a deeper sense of his belonging as a son in his human family, but also in his divine family. And so there's this great sense of abandonment and emotional neglect that is apparent in many men's lives today. We call that a father wound. We deal with men who have been physically abused as a child, men who have received mistreatment, kind of like Josephine Bakita did, mistreatment at the hands of those who were in authority over her. We also deal with men who have been sexually wounded, sexually abused, traumas in their past in that regard. Let's be honest, there's a lot of men who've suffered with that. There's a lot of men who deal with self-abuse when it comes to their sexuality. And these are things that they've coped with for many years, and they've really had no freedom, and they've had no opportunity to find freedom. So this Samson Healing Retreat, and I'd like you to learn more about it at samsonretreat.com, is moving to Arizona February 14th to the 17th. We'll be there for 4 days, 3 nights, at the Powderdale Pines Retreat House, which is in Prescott, Arizona. And then 1 month later, March 14th, we'll be back in New Jersey. So for the local listeners, if this program appeals to you, if it sounds like something that you would like to participate in, or you know somebody that would like to participate in it, I invite you to learn more, again, at samsonretreat.com. That's S-A-M-S-O-N, retreat.com. And that takes its namesake from the great judge in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, Samson. But on these retreats, we talk about the theology of the cross. It's a central theme at these retreats, and we dive deep into that theology and what it means for us and what suffering means for us. It's an invitation, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to know Christ, to go deeper into the heart of Jesus, because Jesus is well acquainted. In fact, there's no one who suffered more on this earth than Christ himself. There's no one who experienced more torture, more abuse, more victimization than Christ himself. And so we find a friend in Jesus at these retreats. Again, March 14th to the 17th, we'll be during Lent. We'll be in Hamilton, New Jersey, at the Discovery House, where the Samson program began back in 2012. And we will be there again, bringing men into a deeper appreciation for their beloved sonship and seeking healing in the midst of their pain in the face of God to help them as they journey towards freedom, as they journey towards peace, away from the time in their life that is disturbing them so much. And so again, if this healing retreat sounds like something you would be interested in, go to samsonretreat.com and learn more. Please keep us in prayer, especially as we travel and take it out to Phoenix. And we are taking the Samson program anywhere in this country, or the world for that matter, that needs healing, a diocese that need healing, that want to bring this to their people. We are willing to do that and bring it to a location that would be suitable for the program, but also to help in this great time of crisis in our church as we deal with new breaking news all the time of abuse and traumas in our church that we have to cope with, that we have to reconcile, that we have to offer hope in the midst of all that. In the midst of those storms, we need to be a calming, soothing balm for those who need it. And the Samson Retreat Program and the Kingsmen Apostolate, for that matter, has been doing that for many years. Okay, so there's a little bit of a plug for our upcoming programs. Again, if you want to learn more about the Kingsmen, go to thekingsmen.org, and you can see all the things that we do. As I said at the beginning of the program, we're going to pick up where we left off with the hidden power of kindness. And last time I talked about Nick Sandman, the Covington High School boys in that situation, the cheerfulness that those boys tried to bring to that situation, how they got disparaged and slandered as a result of their awkwardness and uncomfortableness with what was going on. Well, we're not here to talk about that anymore today. We're going to talk about recognizing the consequences of unkind thoughts in our life. This is I think something we're all guilty of. Unkind judgments may be visited upon us. Father Lawrence Levasic, who wrote this classic book, which is being put out by Sophia Press, 1961, this book was written, is really changing and transforming the way I look at people and the way I talk to people and the way I understand things in my life. It's a practical handbook for souls who dare to transform the world, one deed at a time. I really invite you to learn more about it, to pick it up, get a copy, The Hidden Power of Kindness. Anyhow, Father Lawrence Levasic says, common sense tells you that a person himself is very much what he thinks of others. When you hear a person attribute meanness to another, you may be almost sure not only that the critic is an ill-tempered person, but that he has a similar element of meanness in himself, or is fast acquiring it. So you think of people that we struggle with or that we attribute meanness to or cruelty to, or we just say, I don't like this person, I don't like this about them. A lot of times, we don't like these people because we don't like this in ourselves, and we recognize it in this other person. And sometimes we're much more like them than we realize, that we want to realize. This is a great quote. Common sense would tell you that a person himself is very much what he thinks of others. Good words to remember. Unkind thoughts incur God's punishments, tells us Father Lawrence Levasic in his book, The Hidden Power of Kindness. God evaluates the real merits of each individual with impartial justice. Let's remember that. God is the ultimate judge, as we know, and God will render his justice, and God will have that done in his time. But he evaluates the real merits of every person, and he's not rendering that unkind judgment and those unkind thoughts. He sees all that's at play, all that's going on. He understands why certain people act a certain way. He understands all the emotional baggage that's involved in sometimes these things, that people are projecting their wounds onto others, that people are going through difficult times and therefore find themselves angry. I was with a friend and I was doing some work with him this past Tuesday. And the first hour of our time together was very pleasant. But after an hour, it changed. And my friend's rhetoric and his language and his tone changed on a dime. And I could tell he was very upset. And I went into some prayer for this brother in Christ because I knew he got some bad news, maybe on a text message or something, or a phone message, and I knew he was processing it. I knew he was taking it out, his frustrations and his anger and his insecurity with all the things that he was dealing with on me and others that were in the room. But I attribute probably my thoughts about this situation to this book because I started to pray for him just silently. I knew something was wrong because it was out of his character. I had to render some impartial judgment on that and say, you know what, I can't take this personally. Something's going on. And sure enough, it was confirmed something was going on. I'm just saying we have to slow ourselves down, not be quick to say, hey, how dare you speak to me like that? Or, you know, or then get hostile right back, you know. We have to stay calm. Okay. We must build our thoughts on virtue, says Levasic. We must have a foundation for our thoughts in virtue. The opportunities for the practice of kind thoughts, he tells us, are countless. Countless in our day. Think of it. From the moment you wake up, you can begin with a negative thought or a kind thought. You can begin with cheerfulness or you can begin with bitterness and resentment and harboring suspicion or anger. From the previous day, let's start each day, morning when morning breaks each day, new opportunity for new life, new thoughts, kind thoughts. Levasic tells us to avoid being suspicious. He says a suspicious person somehow adopts the general assumption that everybody must be deemed guilty of evil until he has proved himself to be innocent. Did you hear that? A suspicious person somehow adopts the general assumption that everybody must be deemed guilty of evil until he has proved himself to be innocent. Worst of all, Levasic says, he must always give expression to his suspicions in the hope of making others share them with him. So in other words, you're sharing. What do you think of this? Look at this person's doing this. Can you believe this? And then you start to jade other people's opinion. And you start to try and build evidence against a person based upon your own suspicions that could be correct or incorrect. It's not good to do that. It's very damaging to relationships. An unjustifiable lack of trust hurts deeply. If you set a low value on the moral worth of another, hear this, friends, you misjudge his dispositions, you drag down his character, you misinterpret his intentions or torture his innocence by false suppositions and accusations, you inflict upon him one of life's bitterest trials. A trial like this caused the heart of the Lamb of God to be wrung with anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, says Father Levasic. The whole story of Good Friday, I love this, the whole story of Good Friday is summed up in false suspicions. The whole story of Good Friday, all based on false suspicions of the high priest, false suspicions of Judas Iscariot, false suspicions of Pontius Pilate, the people, the crowds. I love this. Suspicious men and a suspicious man or woman knows no rest. Levasic tells us, trust is a better philosophy of life than suspicion. Suspicion is like an overzealous watchman who not only frightens off thieves, but likewise robs his master of all rest. Trust. We must trust. We must put our trust. And this is something we talk with men all the time with in our healing retreats. So again, we have a healing retreat next week in Prescott, Arizona, if you want to join us. Go to samsonretreat.com. But trust. Assume the best. We do a number on ourselves when we assume that everybody's out to get us or that everyone is trying to hurt us. We must try to think the best of others at all times and remove that suspicion that people are trying to hurt us and transform that situation with a kind thought. Trust is a better philosophy, Father Levasic tells us. He tells us when others give us their confidence, we are refreshed and cheered. If we wish to make men better, we must think better of them. We're going to get ready for our first break here. It's a hard break. But think about that as we go into this break. When others believe in you, have you ever noticed when someone comes, you say, someone said this about you, but you know what? I wanted to come talk to you first, or I wanted to tell you that I don't believe them, that I believe you to be different than what this person is saying. And by the way, this person does not care a lot for you, but I want you to know I love you and I respect you deeply. And I know that your intentions are not what this person's saying. Again, the rumor mill begins and the whisper down the lane and the story changes and it gets back to us, doesn't it? We'll find out that people are talking about us and that people are saying negative things, and it really hurts our spirit, really, really hurts our heart, and our peace is disturbed. Isn't it a great joy when someone comes to you and says, you know what, I don't believe a word of it. And it gives us that confidence. It refreshes our soul. It cheers our spirits. He tells us again, Levasic, if we wish to make men better, if you want to make this world better, you want to make your church better, you must start thinking better of the people within it. You must start thinking, and that's tough right now in this time of crisis in this church, to think ill, poorly of our Pope, of our priests, of our nuns, of our brothers, of our clergy, of our consecrated people. Gosh, the majority of them are wonderful, holy, and virtuous people. There are people, of course, that need help. There are people that have a negative spirit, or even the evil one has come into their lives. The demonic is certainly at play here, as we see in St. Paul's letter to his Ephesians to the Church of Ephesus in chapter 6. You know, that these are powers and principalities outside of our control, and they're way smarter and more clever than any of us will ever recognize. But we're fighting that battle, and we must know that even in our church, that there's people who have come under the influence of such powers and principalities. We're going to go to our first break. We'll be back. We'll talk more about the hidden power of kindness and how it can transform your family and your church and your lives. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. From its modest beginnings in 1930 as Summer Brothers Plumbing and Heating in Gap, PA, to its merger with Zims Sales and Service in 1973, Summers and Zims has grown to be the recognized leader in the design, installation, and service of mechanical systems for industrial and residential needs. They can be contacted at 610-593-5129, or you can visit their website at sumzim.com. Are you a Catholic business professional? If so, you are invited to an upcoming Catholic business networking event at the Miraculous Metal Art Museum. This exciting event will bring together local Catholic business professionals to create opportunities for networking, to support faith-driven dialogue, and to exchange ideas. The featured speaker will be Father Robert Hagen, whose topic will be Keeping the Faith in Everything We Do. So join us on Thursday, February 21st, 2019, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Miraculous Metal Art Museum, located at 475 East Chelton Avenue in Philadelphia, PA. The cost is free, with free will offerings gratefully accepted. There will be hors d'oeuvres, beer, wine, and soft drinks available. So mark your calendars and join us for a fun evening. Parking is complimentary and secure at the Central Association of the Miraculous Metal Office Building. For more information, call 215-848-1010 or go online at miraculousmetal.org.
Is your marriage hurting? Are you considering separation or even divorce? There is hope. RetroVi is a Christian marriage program, Catholic in origin, where couples of all faiths or no faith background learn to rekindle their love for one another.
The next RetroVi weekend will be held February 8th through the 10th at the Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
For more information, please visit helpourmarriage.org or you can call 800-470-2230.
Welcome back. Hidden Power of Kindness. Changing my life. I'm sharing it on these airways, and I've never done this before, I've dedicated the last couple programs to this because I think it's that important, especially in our culture today. I think it's so vital that we start to hear these timeless words of wisdom, these pearls of wisdom from Father Lawrence Levasseur in his book, The Hidden Power of Kindness. And I'm taking you through it. We're about halfway through it. I may do one more program on it. But we're just talking about how Good Friday is summed up in false suppositions, that Christ suffered more at the hands of false suppositions. And he was wrung with anguish, sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Very, very important for us to see our role in all that. Father Lawrence Levasseur encourages us to try to be agreeable. He tells us that one heart and soul, which comes from Acts chapter 4:32, was the slogan of the first followers of Christ, that they are of one heart, one mind, one soul, and united them. The unity merited for them the recognition by the pagans of their outstanding brotherly love. We will know them by their love. In accordance with that, this exhortation, you may look into your own unity of thought with your fellow man, at least in all things lawful. You are contentious if you are given to quarrelsomeness, to bickering, and to finding fault habitually with others. That's not what a Christian is about, to be quarrelsome and arguing and fighting. We need to bring peace. We need to bring love. And we need to be radical Christians in the sense of sharing the truth, but always in love, speaking that truth, always in love. Father Levasseur encourages us to be sensitive to temperament. A little bit more on this. Knowledge of temperamental differences is useful, he tells us, for avoiding friction. Again, if you know somebody's temperament, you know their buttons. You know what gets them off kilter. Well, be sensitive to that. That way you'll have a good relationship. If you know this is going to push someone over the edge, well, avoid doing that. If you want to get along well with people, he tells us, you must have much goodwill and solid virtue. The King's Men's all about building virtue. Our men's groups all around the country, we got about 40 of them. here locally in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's all about building virtue. That's what we do. We encourage one another as men to be more virtuous, to be more holy. Levasseur goes on to say, but you must also use common sense and intelligence as you strive to get along with people. You must use your common sense. People of a certain type of temperament cannot help being sensitive, he tells us. Some by nature appear well armored against the disappointments of life, but there are others who by nature are highly sensitive and are inclined to be introspective and melancholic. It is very easy for them to recognize slights, even sometimes where they do not even exist. They are inclined to brood over these real or imagined slights, with the result that they make themselves and those around them miserable. There is no disgrace in the fact that a person is endowed with a sensitive temperament. Look, remember, your temperament is God-given. It's not your job to get rid of your temperament. It's your job to master it, to know it. There's a wonderful book about temperament and spirituality. I don't have the author, but I read it at the request of my spiritual director, Father Michael DiGregorio, the prior provincial for the Villanova province here in Pennsylvania, Augustinians. And I read it, and it was really helpful. It's spirituality and temperament is the basic theme. But there's no disgrace in having a sensitive temperament. Saint Therese of Lisieux was extremely sensitive. Saints are sensitive, and some have been harder in this area than others. But a lot of very wonderful saints have been sensitive. Levasseur says a vivid imagination and delicately balanced feelings and emotions make it possible for one to appreciate to a high degree beauty and goodness. If you are sensitive, your task is to bring out the best in your temperament and to be on your guard against the growth of evil tendencies. You must make a valiant effort to avoid brooding over real or imagined slights. Do not let your natural tendency to introspection become exaggerated. Force yourself, he tells us, into a healthy, active association with others. And most importantly, be devoted to prayer. You have to be prayerful about this. If you know you're ultra sensitive or whatever, be prayerful about that. Ask God to help you to be less sensitive in those areas where you need to be, but also sensitive in the areas where you should be, to use good wisdom, good judgment. Now, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. And it's a shame when people say, oh, you're so sensitive. Well, that's almost like a knock to say there's something wrong with this person. No, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. How you respond, okay, that we need to look at those situationally, you know, case by case. But I think sensitivity is needed at a funeral. I think sensitivity is needed when someone gets bad news. I think sensitivity is needed when a child falls and hurts themselves, a little child. We need to be sensitive. We need to be sensitive to other people's situations and feelings. However, we don't always need to be sensitive at every word that a person utters, that not everyone is trying to hurt us. We must keep in mind that sometimes people go through different things, and sometimes they react and act poorly. It's not always personal. We must keep those things in mind. Levasseur encourages us to see ourselves and others as we are. If you consider your own sins, how can you have an exalted opinion of yourself, he says. It's not enough just to tell yourself that you are a sinner like all men. Think of those certain sins that you are especially ashamed of. To admit even to yourself, and for which you are genuinely sorry, if you admit them to God, even in the privacy of your heart, it will be impossible for you to be upset because of the wrongs you have to endure from others. Anger will melt away, he tells us. Revenge will disappear, and you will humbly accept every slight or injury in expiation for your sins. Such prayerful pondering of your own small sins and large sins will make you truly humble of heart and mind. So again, for someone who's a frequent goer of confession, who's constantly repenting, who's acknowledging their sins before God, that's a remedy, I think, for this brooding, for this harboring of resentment and bitterness over everything that people say about you, good or bad. maybe someone says something good, but you take it the wrong way. Maybe someone's trying to compliment you, but you still take it the wrong way. Remember, not everybody... I heard a wise person say once, people don't think about you as much as you think they're thinking about you. Let's not give them as much credit as we're giving them. Remember, people are not as focused on what we think they're focused on. Levasic says, show consideration for others. Considerateness is an unpretentious virtue. It is queenly charity wearing the humblest garb. So she often remains unrecognized. I like that. Considerateness is a queenly charity wearing the humblest of garbs and often is unrecognized. Considerate people make a point of practicing this virtue in such a way that it benefits many but catches the eye of only a few. I think of mothers when I hear that. I think of my wife with children, with our children. I think of grandmothers. I think of women who do this every single day. Considerate people make a point of practicing this virtue in such a way that it benefits so many, but it catches the eye of so few. Be attentive to those things. It's important. Be aware of all that your wife does for you, men. Be aware how considerate she is of you and your feelings, or if you're on a phone call, and how she keeps the kids away from distracting you, how she leaves you alone to do what you need to do as a man. This is important for husbands and fathers to think about. Lack of consideration is responsible for an immense amount of humiliation, suffering, discord, and, here we go, lawsuits. Lack of consideration. You think of that Nick Sandman situation from March for Life. There's lawsuits coming out after this. Lacking consideration, because of the lack of consideration for those activists showed for those boys. Think of the humiliation, the suffering, discord, and now we have lawsuits. But if you're not in the habit of practicing considerateness, how can you expect consideration from God? Wow. So needed to be heard today. Let me repeat that. If you are not in the habit of practicing considerateness, how can you expect consideration from God? Whoa. The beam in your eye, as Christ would say, right? You want the goodness and the graces and all the things to be given unto you, but you don't want to give that to anybody else. Look at yourself. We must think of the measure that we pour out for others will be poured out for us. What is more beautiful than considerateness for others than when you yourself are unhappy? What is more beautiful than considerateness for others when you yourself are unhappy? Such charity leaves a deep impression and makes others more gentle. Think of Mother Teresa. What was more beautiful than her going up to others? I think of the reporter who was watching her minister to someone in the gutter or wherever in the slums of Calcutta. And the reporter said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta said, neither would I. What is more beautiful than considerate for others when you yourself are unhappy? Those considerations that happen all around us. We witness people committing tremendous acts of kindness, random acts of kindness. That charity leaves a deep impression. There's nothing more beautiful than people who are unhappy witnessing this and being transformed by it. Levasic says, the very darkness within you should create a sunshine around you. In this way, the Spirit of Jesus will take possession of your soul. Make an effort to hide your pains and sorrows, Levasic says. While you do so, let them also urge you to be kind and cheerful to those around you. So if you're suffering and you're in pain, extend yourself. He says, create sunshine around you amidst that darkness. That's Mother Teresa again. The Spirit of Jesus will take possession of your soul. Okay. Ask yourself some personal questions when it comes to learning the ways to practice considerateness. These are gonna convict all of us. Let's listen. Ask yourself some personal questions. Put yourself in the place of the other person. If you were in his place, how would the thing in question appear to you? How would you judge it? How would you feel if what you now hear about another were said about you? What would you wish others to say and think of you? Put yourself in the place of the person's mother or someone else dear to him? How would his mother judge the matter? What would she wish? What would she do? Think of God. How does the other person stand in his eyes? What is God's viewpoint? How quick we are to condemn other people and wish evil upon them and sentence them to hell. And what's God's view? God wants nothing but to bring them into communion. What does God want of that person? What does God want of you now in response to that situation? Frank answers to the questions such as these will lead you to honesty in any situation. You will see at once what you must think and say, since you must love and treat everyone else like yourself. These questions reveal how selfish you really are without intending to be, and how quick and superficial your judgments can be. I think those are great questions. If we're dealing with a difficult person at work, ask yourself, how would you feel if you were in their shoes? How would you feel if you overheard people and what they're saying about you? How does their mother feel about them? You think of Timothy McVeigh, who did the bombing in Oklahoma City and, of course, was sentenced to death and was, I think, capital punishment was executed to end his life. But nonetheless, his parents, who I think spoke before his execution, they spoke with love and, of course, disappointment and sadness, but they loved their child. They want nothing but the best for their child. They want their child to live. They want their child to thrive. Think of a mother's heart. Think of those situations when you are dealing with difficult people. Remember the good points and virtues of others. This is really important. A person who is kind never sees personal weaknesses in others. Kindness is the eye that overlooks your friend's broken gateway, but sees a rose that blossoms in his garden. There is nothing that will so manifest your character, your heart, and your soul as this sweet graciousness, says Father Levasic. Dwell frequently in thought on the good traits of those for whom you may have natural aversions. Faults are in most cases the weaknesses attendant upon great strengths. Okay, now hear that again. No one is wholly bad, and few are wholly good. Faults are in most cases the weaknesses attendant upon great strength. So again, this dichotomy we have of where sin is great, grace abounds all the more, right? So in someone who's struggling with some of the weakness, there's a strength that's there that might bring them to the verge of doing great things, great and holy things. Think of, as Teresa Tommy often says, make your misery your ministry. But think about it. Sometimes your strength, where you're most weak, people who end up becoming great witnesses. Father John Carapi comes to mind at one time where he was such a witness to failure and brokenness and worldliness and materialism and then became this great evangelist. Of course, we know how things went ultimately with him. But nonetheless, a great witness, a great story. But people who have great problems in their past become great evangelists. Think of St. Augustine, right? Great sinners become great saints. Think of just the conversion of so many over the years that have become saints. Blessed Bartolo, he was like a Satanist, and now he's, up for canonization, promoting the rosary. Just so many that we could think of, that people that have converted. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, abortionist, ended up becoming this amazing pro-lifer, and how many lives did he contribute to saving? Of course, we know how many he's killed, but became a champion for life. And so, again, this is to Levasic's point. Faults are, in most cases, the weaknesses attendant upon great strengths. So it's not always as it seems to us. And this is important for us as people of God. The scandal and all these things, it's not always what it appears. Let's stay tuned. We'll talk more about this kindness, this hidden power of kindness by Father Lawrence Levasic. This great book I've been going through here the last couple of programs of the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll talk more.
A prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of God, and make within us your dwelling place and home. May our darkness be dispelled by your light, and our troubles calmed by your peace. May all evils be redeemed by your love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. Amen.
Dear listeners of Holy Spirit Radio, ask yourselves, what am I doing for Lent? Most of you will consider fasting, praying, and giving alms. But what about really becoming the beloved disciple of Jesus? St. Vincent de Paul Church in Richboro, Pennsylvania invites you to become a beloved disciple of Jesus this Lent. Lent is a great time to let Jesus convince you of his desire for your friendship. So join us in this Lenten parish mission beginning on March 10th through March 12th. Come and see how Jesus' generous offer of friendship invites deeper relationship as his beloved. Sister Charlene Diorca, a sister of St. Joseph of Philadelphia, will lead the Lenten mission. St. Vincent de Paul Church is located at 654 Hatboro Road in Richboro, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-322-5591.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Mark Hock, your host, with you today on February 8th, Friday, Feast of St. Josephine Baqueta. Pray for us. Pray for our time together. We're going to finish up this program talking about the hidden power of kindness. And oh boy, how is it needed in our culture, in our church, in our communities, in our parishes, in our families. St. Ignatius Loyola once wrote, this is coming out of the Father Levasseur's book, "The man who sets about making others better is wasting his time unless he begins with himself." I'll repeat that. Good words to live by. The man who sets about making others better is wasting his time unless he begins with himself. That's St. Ignatius of Loyola. The more perfect you are, the more gentle you become toward the defects of others. Wow, how far we fall short, and how imperfect we are. We are imperfect but transformed. We know that. It's only through sacramental grace that we're perfected. We understand that. But the more perfect you are, the closer you are to being like Christ, the more gentle you become toward the defects of others. I love that. Love that. Put that in your home, right? Put that on some sign. I'll be the first to buy it. Okay. Since God himself deliberately places your neighbor at your side, and since he himself laid the burden of this cross upon you, you must look upon another's burden, Levasseur tells us, as your cross, and bear it as your own personal cross. This is about considering others and exercising patience that they have towards you and you towards them. Consider others' patience that they extend to you when you're dealing with a cross. Those that help you carry it are quite a gift to you, and it's quite a friend. As Augustine would say, half your soul is a friend, someone who bears your burdens, who helps you carry your cross. An old Eastern legend, Levasseur says in his book, The Hidden Power of Kindness, tells the story of a stranger who sought shelter for the night in another's tent. He awoke in the middle of the night and, becoming impatient because he could not sleep, blasphemed God. Awakened by the stranger's profanity, the scandalized tent owner drove the man from his home. In the morning, an angel is said to have appeared to him, exclaiming, "I sent a stranger to you for shelter. Where is he?" "I would not let him stay," explained the owner, "because he blasphemed God." "For 40 years," replied the angel, "God has been patient with that man. For one single night, could you not bear with him?" An old Eastern legend. I love that. You may be sure that God will go on bearing with you. Thank the Lord for bearing your burdens, your sins, and your troublesomeness. Guilty as charged. Okay. The Hidden Power of Kindness, we're reading. This comes out of Sophia Press. This book was written in 1961, and I've been reviewing it the last couple programs here at Holy Spirit Radio, and I think it is a help. That's why I'm spending time on it, because these words are so important to hear today. People are so selfish today and so self-serving that we fail to be patient with others when the brokenness of their lives interferes with our lives, and we discard people very easily. Levasic says, train yourself in patience. Where there is patience, forbearance, that's a word that we should use more often. Where there is patience, forbearance, and mutual sharing of the burdens of life, there the burdens are reciprocally, I think I got it right there, lightened. You share the burdens, you demonstrate forbearance and patience towards others and their burdens. The burdens are lightened. Try to see God's permission of the happening. St. Francis de Sales gives this advice. We must have patience not only to be ill, but to be ill with the illness which God wills, in the place where he wills, and among such persons as he wills, and so of our tribulations. In other words, try to see God's hand in the midst of what's coming to you. Do not talk the matter over with others except for the purpose of getting direction to make virtue out of necessity. St. Ignatius Loyola again says, if we do not feel in ourselves a perfect patience, we have great reason rather to complain of the sensuality of our flesh, of our being, neither mortified nor dead to the things of the world, as we ought to be, than to excuse those who load us with insults. Do not talk the matter over with others, excepting to get direction and to grow in virtue, to make virtue out of this situation. So if you do not feel this perfect patience, we have great reason to complain of others. And we're not allowing ourselves to mortify, to die to self and what feels good to ourselves. Then we will be quick to accuse and insult. This is what St. Ignatius of Loyola says. Rather, let this cross be a source of self-sanctification rather than torture for your soul. Offer the pain you must suffer in expiation for your sin, your own as well as those of others, and also for blessings upon those who have been unfair to you. Let this cross be a source of self-sanctification. Offer it up, right, as the old saying would go, and be blessing upon those who are administering the unfairness to you. Aren't these timeless words that will transform any situation in life? Imagine if our politicians read this book and embraced it and lived it. How encouraging and how better this world would be. God gave you the faculty of sympathy, which enables you to recognize the pleading of hidden, silent want and the misery of suffering that cannot speak. Sympathy will not let you go thoughtlessly past those in need, but will prompt you to offer your help. And unless you do offer help, your life will be selfish and meaningless. If you do what you can to lessen human misery, you are God's helper. And you have discovered a most beautiful calling, for to be always ready to help is truly the vocation of God's own children. This is about answering the call to sympathy, kindness. Do not refuse to carry out your vocation as helper. If you remain deaf to the cry for help, you will not be able to face God. If you refuse others your help, how can you dare to call for God's help? These are kind of echoing themes that we already spoke about. Your lack of considerateness for God, how can you expect God to be considerate to you if you're not being considerate to others? If you refuse others your help, how can you dare to call for God's help? I mean, this is just an indictment upon us all, right? We want others to give us what we need, but we're not willing to dish it out to others in the same manner. Discover the transforming power of kind thoughts. Only a kind person is able to judge another justly and to make allowances for his weaknesses. A kind eye, while recognizing defects, sees beyond them. Its gaze is like that of a gentle mother who judges her beloved child more leniently and at the same time more correctly than a stranger would. The mother sees the goodness in the child, but at the same time corrects the child and gives allowances to their weaknesses and their defects because of their immaturity and their emotional development. Mother knows and sees with a motherly heart. As God says in the book of Samuel, man looks at appearances, but God looks at the heart. That's key. The practice of kind thoughts enables you to overcome criticism and all the influence it may exert on others. The practice of kind thoughts enables you to overcome criticism and all the influence it may exert on others. You thereby sacrifice successes at the moment they are within your reach. The triumph over a proud heart and a bitter temper is the result of difficult spiritual combat, but it brings its reward, for self-denial is a fountain of peace and joy in your soul. Wow. Kind thoughts preserve you from many sins against charity. The practice of a kind thought helps you to grow in the spiritual life. Charity is the deepest view of life because it is nearest to God's view. This is the reverse of what our world offers us, superficial view of things. God's view is not merely the truest view, but the only view that is true at all. Hey, we heard that in the State of the Union with our President Donald Trump saying that life and all life is made in the image and likeness of God. That is an undeniable truth, and that is the only truth. And to take life cannot be done for that reason alone, that this is God's image, that God is the author of life, and there's no other view that can be accepted in this world. If instead of harsh thoughts and bitter resentment, you fostered in your heart a readiness to forgive and forget, you would not find it too difficult to adopt a friendly attitude toward those who are habitually cold and hostile toward you. Again, your kind thoughts about others preserve you from that sin and lack of charity. Get into the habit of putting a kind interpretation on all you see and hear. Oh, these great words from Father Lawrence Levasic. Timeless wisdom. Kind thoughts promote peace. A man's face is troubled, his work hindered, and his whole life made miserable whenever he is at variance with himself, with God, or with fellow man. But as soon as he has recovered the peace he has lost, his face glows, his spirit revives, and his heart is full of the joy of life. Think about that when you get good news, or you get a promotion at work, or you do well in your secular world and job, and you get recognized for it, how that restores your peace instantly. We need to work on this and be able to restore it through our thoughts, our kind thoughts, without needing outside influences and material things to change our mood and disposition. You do not make peace with your tongue. Your whole person brings about peace. So if you do not make the peace with your tongue, your whole person brings about peace. Let me try to unpack that. To keep peace in your heart, you must cultivate kind thoughts. Such thoughts are the origin of kind words and deeds, which bring peace to the hearts of men. The more peace-loving you are, the more powerful you are as a peacemaker. You do not make peace with your tongue. All right? Your whole person brings about that peace. Your tongue doesn't bring the peace. So the words are a part of this process, but it's your whole countenance. It's everything you bring. It's your deeds in addition to your words. It's your kind glance. It's your loving embrace. So just don't think this is about saying a bunch of whispering, you know, sweet nothings into people's ears. That's not what this kindness is about. That's part of it. It's not all of it. You need the whole being. You must bring the whole person. There's no more beautiful work of charity than to reconcile a person to his creator. When you hear a person speaking unkindly of another behind his back, you will carefully avoid relating what you have heard to the person talked about, because it is wrong to disturb the mutual harmony between two people. I'll close with that. It is wrong. It is a great sin to disturb the harmony that is among two people. So if you're trying to influence somebody negatively about somebody, can you believe what this person did? Let me tell you what this person did. How many of us start conversations like that? Did you hear what this person did? Immediately, it's an offense against charity, right? Because that person is not there to defend themselves, and we are gossiping, and we are slandering and disparaging, and it's calumny, right? It's calumniating that person. So we need to think about our presence in the midst of all this. This happens all the time at work. We do it. Be aware of your tongue, friends. Be aware of the lack of kindnesses that you express about somebody else, and master that. Ask God to give you the grace to master that, to deny yourself the satisfaction that comes by sharing something negative about another person. That is so destructive to our church. It's so destructive to our families, to our friendships, to our coworkers. How many relationships ended because of the hearsay, because of what was an untruth that was shared, where it was spread and continued to fester and become a toxic environment that was created because someone took something the wrong way or because of their own brokenness and woundedness, perceived something differently. This is so important. This is why I'm sharing this book, because, friends, I think we're all guilty of this, and I think most of us don't confess it in the confessional. Why? Why do I say that? Because I don't confess it in the confessional, and I think I'm a pretty introspective person, and I don't even think about these things. And this book has challenged me, this great book, The Hidden Power of Kindness, to start thinking more deeply about these things. And I think this is why St. Pio said the greatest sin is a lack of love. So think about that for yourself. How are we not loving in our words? We're closing out our time. God bless you. Lent is going to start soon. Pray for all that you need to do to grow closer in this way. I hope this challenges you, and I hope to talk more about it. Probably the next program will be the last time I'll talk about it. Stay tuned for the next episode here of The King's Men. 2 weeks. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.